New Orleans signed CJ Spiller for something other than sitting on the fucking bench.
31 other passes that should have been intercepted with.
So that's why I have David Johnson on my board higher.
If you're doing a live draft, wait till you're drunk to draft this guy. We welcome you to the Fifth Down! What up, Fifth Downers? This is Johnny Slokes, and you're listening to the Fifth Down Fantasy Football Podcast. We are going to be covering up the rest of the Week 12 matchups. We didn't cover the Thanksgiving games because, you know, we were busy stuffing our face and getting plenty of drinks into our system, so we apologize for that one, but we got you covered for the rest of them. You can find us on iTunes. You can leave us a rate and review there. We're also on Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, all of the above. Let's go over some news and notes before we do that, though. Here's this funny clip.
Unattended because I went to the bank to get the brochure that you requested.
I apologize, but it's too late. The transaction has been completed.
Well, then you're going to give me half the commission.
You will receive none of the commission.
I need to talk to Paula. This is crazy.
This is bullshit. Every time I make a sale, you go crying to Paula. How about Jesse Jackson? Oh, Jesse, he needs a cause.
I'm sick of you poaching my customers.
I'm sick of your crybaby bullshit.
You want to take the shit outside? You want to just take it outside and just squash it?
Let's stay inside so everybody can see what a pussy you have, okay? Because when I remove the blade I keep in my boot from its sheath, I can't return it until it has spilled blood.
Listen to me. You are fucking with the wrong nigga.
Hey, you're fucking with the wrong son, nigga, okay?
I will hang your old ass by your turban.
Oh, turban now? Do you see any fucking turban here? Do I talk like a turban guy? Do I say, hey, Jay, do you want a slippy? You want a slippy? Fuck you, okay? I was born in Brooklyn, okay? My accent's a fucking Brooklyn accent, okay?
Alright, Gronk is going to be a game-time decision, which is kind of like a U-turn from what we expected earlier this week, how they were saying he's going to miss this game, but he made the trip with New England to go over to New York, so he's going to be expected to play at least, so that's good news for New England. Sammy Watkins will play this week for the first time in a while. How effective he'll be, though, is another question. You know, maybe he's just a decoy, but, you know, at this point, Buffalo could really use him, especially with Robert Woods being ruled out. Mike Gilsley is out. They do get LeSean McCoy, though, back. He's good to go. You know, he had that thumb issue. He had the surgery. He's good to go. I would still be a little bit worried about, you know, his ball security. I know a lot of people aren't too concerned about that, but, you know, it's a thumb injury. So, I mean, you always got to worry about the ball security when something like that happens. Ryan Matthews ruled out. That's not a big surprise. He has a knee injury. Looks like Sproles is going to play with his rib injury. I'm still banking on Smallwood at this point. You know, Sproles is playing through a rib injury, 33 years old. He's never been a guy that really gets, like, double-digit carries. So I got to think that Smallwood's going to be that guy to get most of the work. Let's see. We got Tevin Coleman returning from his injury. He probably could have gone before the bye week, but, you know, the Falcons wanted to give him an extra couple of weeks of rest. So I don't think he'll be limited. I think he'll be good to go. CJ Fedorowicz, good to go. He will play, nothing to worry about there. Jordan Reed, though, has a grade 3 separation that happened on Thanksgiving. He played through the injury, which, let's face it, that's adrenaline. I had a very similar injury to his. It was a grade 2 separation, and I had some torn muscles in my shoulder, infraspinatus, supraspinatus, so maybe he has something kind of similar. A grade 3 separation to me tells me that there's some significant ligament damage in his shoulder. He's obviously going to be dealing with some pain for quite some time, at least a month and a half. I know I was pretty limited as well. When I had my shoulder injury, I couldn't do pull-ups, I couldn't do push-ups. So, I mean, obviously he's a professional athlete and I am not. But One good news, though, is it's reported that he does not need surgery, but he's going to be dealing with quite a bit of pain. We know the NFL, they give him the good stuff, so maybe he could play with it, but I'd be a little bit worried about it if I was a Jordan Reed owner. I'd expect him to be limited for quite some time, probably for the rest of the fantasy football season, so no good. Jeremy Maclin ruled out this week. This is the third game in a row. I think it's the third game in a row where he's missing. Even if he was playing, you're probably not going to play him anyways. They're going against Denver. We already touched on Robert Woods. Luke Kuechly, I know this is not like fantasy news, but Luke Kuechly's ruled out this week. The only reason why I'm bringing it up, though, is because, you know, Carolina's defense has been rock solid lately. And, you know, obviously he's a big part of that. He's the signal caller. And without him, that could be a pretty big blow. So they're going against Oakland, which is a pretty good offense. So that's why I felt the need to bring Luke Kuechly up. Mark Ingram, he is expected to play this week after being concussed last Thursday. Good for him, but he's been sharing a lot of time with Tim Hightower anyhow. And it just seems like a week where, you know, he's coming off of a concussion. Maybe they do work this right down the middle, or maybe Hightower gets a bigger share of the workload. So I'm not as big on Mark Ingram this week. We already touched on Mike Gilsley being out. Yeldon hasn't practiced at all this week. There hasn't really been any updates or reports about his injury, but if he hasn't practiced all week, I have to say, you know, he's probably not going to play this week. So maybe Ivory can get a big workload. I know he's only averaging something. I know it's definitely under four yards a carry, but look for him to have an increased workload. You know, Julius Thomas is also out. I'm not like he was doing a whole lot anyways. Michael Floyd, game time decision. Once again, he hasn't been doing a whole lot. It seemed like he was benched the last game. So he's kind of been in the shitter this year. So that's no good. Let's go over to our first matchup on our slate. It's the Tennessee Titans going on the road to the Chicago Bears. The Bears defense has been in disarray. You know, they've been slumping, and now they're losing Jay Cutler. They lost Alshon Jeffrey. So they also lost Zach Miller. Like, this team is going down the toilet real quick. Vegas has Tennessee as 6-point favorites on the road. Over and under is set at 42. I would definitely have to go with Tennessee to cover this spread. You know, they've been, especially Mariota. You know, Mariota's actually the number 3 quarterback in fantasy football right now. He has, since week five, Mariota has 19 touchdowns to only 3 interceptions. And besides week 3 and 4, he's had a multi-touchdown game in every single game this year. So Marcus Mariota's been on fire. So I'm really looking forward to starting him. DeMarco Murray, he has 8 rushing touchdowns on the season. He's going against Chicago, who's actually been pretty decent against the run. I think they're 12th in the league against the run. They've also given up 8 rushing touchdowns. It just seems like a game where, you know, Tennessee's going to get up early, and then they're going to want to milk that clock and chew up the clock afterwards. And I really like DeMarco Murray in this game, actually, despite the fact that Chicago's 12th against the run. I think that, you know, DeMarco Murray's going to get a heavy workload. They have kind of shied away from Derrick Henry. So, yeah, look for Murray to have a good game. Don't look now, but Rishard Matthews is wide receiver 23 in PPR leagues. He's been on a tear lately. I believe he has like 6 or 7 touchdowns the past 7 games. He's looking fantastic. I know he didn't score last game, but he still had 100 yards. Like, this guy is being he's everything that we thought he was going to be preseason. So that's good. I know he didn't really start off hot, but he's definitely starting to pick up his game in the second half of this season. And, you know, I think obviously Sharp will be a part of this offense, but I think a guy that might be a sneaky play this week is Kendall Wright. I know he's a rotational player, but this Chicago defense is in shambles right now. I definitely think that there's room for a guy like Kendall Wright to have some production in this game. Obviously, if you have Delanie Walker, you're starting him. He's the number three tight end in PPR leagues right now. Chicago's been pretty decent against tight ends, but I wouldn't be too worried about it here. You will have probably like Trevathan on him. I think that's a big part of the reason why they're pretty good against tight ends. He's a pretty decent coverage linebacker. So, I mean, obviously there's going to be some better plays at tight end this week, but if you have Walker, you're starting him, let's face it. I guess we can go over to the other side of the ball. You know, I have a lot in common with Barkley, who's going to be the starting quarterback for Chicago. We both have never thrown a touchdown in the NFL, so that's something that we have in common. Yeah, it's not looking good with him as the starter. I mean, I would consider sitting down Jordan Howard. I'd consider sitting down Meredith. You don't know. Really, honestly, you don't, out of all the Chicago receivers, you don't know who's going to be that go-to receiver with Barkley. And I really don't think it matters. I think he has like a career completion percentage of like 41% or something like that. I mean, they got Cameron Meredith, you got Marquise Wilson, you got Eddie Royal. You don't know who's going to be that number one receiver over there with that guy at the helm. So, ouch. There's not a single player on Chicago that I would start at this point. I feel like we could just move on. So, let's go over to the next game. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are going on the road to the Buffalo Bills. You know, I'm a guy that kind of worries about teams like Jacksonville and Tampa Bay and teams like that play on the road against these cold weather teams. I mean, Bortles is already struggling as it is. I mean, it's not going to improve if the weather gets worse. I'm not saying that the weather's going to be bad in Buffalo. I don't know. I haven't checked on that. But I'm just a guy that's like, it's 30 degrees outside. Maybe they aren't interested in playing this game anymore, you know? Bortles is actually surprisingly the number 10 quarterback this year so far. But let's face it, he's not passing the eye test. He looks awful. He gets to go against Buffalo, who's really improved against the pass over the last few weeks. So that's not something to look forward to. I have Bortles as a sit this week. A guy I do kind of like a little bit this week is Chris Ivory. I know he's only averaging 3.6 yards per carry. He's only got one touchdown on the season. But the thing that's working in his favor is the Buffalo Bills have given up 12 rushing touchdowns this year. So that's maybe an area where Jacksonville can exploit him a little bit if they can get into the red zone, you know. I do like the way Chris Ivory runs the ball. He runs hard-nosed, so. Allen Robinson, he's been a disappointment early in the season. He's starting to pick up his play a little bit only because he's getting touchdowns. He seemed like he's more touchdown-dependent these days. He's wide receiver 21 in PPR leagues. He's getting a lot of targets, but, you know, those targets, there are a lot of them at his feet, and he has to make some really good catches in order to be productive, so that's something I'm not really interested in, but you have Allen Robinson. I do feel like you could start him against Buffalo. Some interesting numbers, though, about the other receivers in Jacksonville is Marquise Lee compared to Allen Hurns. Marquise Lee has 63 targets. Allen Hurns has 69. But Marquise Lee has 8 more receptions. And he has nearly 100 more yards than Allen Hurns. So, I mean, we all expect Allen Hurns to have a regression, but we didn't expect him to be the number three receiver over there in Jacksonville. That's just insane. No tight end to speak of over in Jacksonville because Julius Thomas is out. So we can go over to the other side of the ball where we got Tyrod Taylor, the number 17 quarterback this year in fantasy. Going against Jacksonville, who has an underrated defense. They have been stopping the pass decently this year. I do have Tyrod Taylor as a sit. I know he could get some rushing yards, but I really prefer my quarterbacks just to be able to get it done through the air. And I don't know if that's something he can do this week. So I have Tyrod Taylor as a sit. It's not the greatest of matchups for him. I do think they're going to lean on McCoy heavily in this one. He's the number 8 running back in PPR leagues. He has no Gilsey to worry about stealing any of his work. I do like McCoy this week. I think this is a game where maybe they kind of slow him up in the beginning of the game, but as this game goes on, you know, Buffalo's going to build a lead, and then maybe they keep on handing it to him, and he eventually just breaks free in the second half. It's definitely something that I could see happening, so that's why I like McCoy this week. If you have Sammy Watkins, good for you. Good for picking him up, stashing him. Don't play him this week. He is not a play that I would recommend. Maybe if your playoff life is on the line and you absolutely need a high upside play, then you could start him. But, I mean, if you have a better option, which you probably do if you're stashing him like I was, you're probably strong at other areas on your team. You can afford to sit him down on your bench. Go ahead and do that. Charles Clay, we're not going to mention. So let's go over to Cincinnati on the road against Baltimore. Cincinnati, he obviously got hit with the injury bug last week. Got Andy Dalton, the number 14 quarterback. Has not been playing very well these past couple weeks. He's got 411 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions the past 2 weeks. He goes up against a pretty tough Baltimore pass defense, so I really do think that their pass defense is legit. Especially the fact that he has no A.J. Green to throw to anymore. He has no more Giovanni Bernard. So that's 2 really big losses for their pass game. And, you know, Baltimore has been really, really tough against the tight ends. They've given up 378 yards, only 1 touchdown to the tight end position this year. So I also have, I got Andy Dalton as a sit. I also got Tyler Eifert as a sit. I just don't feel like the production's going to be there for him this week. I do like him going forward, I just don't like him this week. I know a lot of the fantasy community, there's been a lot of debate about who is going to take over this number one role. And this is going to be really, really hard for me to say because I don't fucking like this guy, man. But LaFell, I do feel like, is going to be the number one receiver over there. I know last week he got out-targeted by Tajay Boyd, but he's the more prototypical outside receiver that, you know, could take over as an A.J. Green role. Tajay Boyd's more of a slot guy. Maybe he does get more targets than him from week to week, but he's not going to get more touchdowns than him. So, I mean, that's where I'm looking at from that kind of standpoint. A guy I do like going forward, I don't really necessarily like him this week, but I do like Jeremy Hill going forward. I could see him being a running back 1 for the rest of the season if he could get his fucking yards per carry up. But I do like him going forward. I don't necessarily think you have to start him this week going against Baltimore, but he could get a heavy workload. Almost forgot to mention, you know, Baltimore is favored by 4.5 in this game. I do have Baltimore winning this game, but I don't know if they cover the spread because I feel like this is going to be a low-scoring game. This is kind of like a game where they could win like 20-17, 17-14, something like that. But I do have Baltimore winning the game, just not covering the spread. We go over to the other side of the ball. We got Joe Flacco, number 20 quarterback so far this year. He is not looking very good. He has 2 games this year of 1 touchdown or more. He only has 2 games this year where he has multi-touchdown games. That's not something to look forward to. I have him as a sit against Cincinnati, even though, you know, Cincinnati's been a kind of a weak defense this year. We got Terrence West, number 30 running back in PPR leagues. And I do have him as a start, not a very strong start, but I do have him as a start just because, you know, Cincinnati has been giving up some rushing yards on the ground. The only thing is, you know, West is only averaging 3.9 yards a carry this year, so it's definitely something to look forward to if he can improve onto that. I have Kenneth Dixon as a sit just because as bad as West's yards per carry is, Dixon's is even worse. It's at 3.7. So I got Dixon as a sit this week. I'm sorry, guys. I was hoping that, you know, Dixon could end up being that guy, but I just feel like, you know, if it's going to happen, it would have happened already. Wes is doing just enough to keep his job. That's really what it boils down to. If we're looking at the Baltimore receivers, it pretty much anyone's guess who's going to break out this week. It could be Steve Smith. It could be Mike Wallace. And obviously, there's some better plays out there that you could put in. But, I mean, if you want to take a chance with one of them, if you need like an upside play, I'd go with Mike Wallace. He's the number 19 receiver in PPR leagues right now. So, I mean, if you need an upside play, that's probably where I would lean towards. But, you know, you can play Steve Smith off name value alone, but that could hurt you. So, I got Dennis Pitta as a sit this week. He's the number 17 tight end in PPR leagues. I know Cincinnati's been pretty bad against tight ends. They've given up 733 yards and 6 touchdowns to the tight end. But, you know, Dennis Pitta hasn't scored a touchdown in almost 3 years. So, I don't know how. There's just not enough upside to playing him for me to want to say, oh, yeah, let's do that. So, that's where I stand with that one. Let's go over to Arizona going on the road against Atlanta. Atlanta is 6-point favorites. The over and under is 51. I got to go with Atlanta to cover this spread. They play a lot better at home. Arizona has looked uninspired this week or this year, but, you know, they are playing for their playoff lives at this point, but I just think it's a little bit late. I got Matt Ryan, the number 5 quarterback this year. He's a tough matchup against Arizona, but he's proven earlier this year that he's been able to have some decent games against tough defenses like Denver, you know. So I'd feel a little bit uneasy about playing him, but if you have him, like, you might as well start him. He's been doing really good this year. Devontae Freeman, the number 10 running back in PPR leagues. He's a guy that you can still play against a tough matchup. But, you know, Tevin Coleman's coming back, and I think that maybe he might offer a little bit more upside because for some reason they like to throw him the ball, which is not something that I was really expecting. I was really expecting, you know, Devontae Freeman to be that guy. But I think Tevin Coleman could be that upside play out of those two running backs. Julio Jones, he's the number 3 receiver this year in PPR leagues. He might get the Patrick Peterson treatment. It just depends because I feel like if Atlanta can move him around the formations, maybe they can get him off of Patrick Peterson. I could still see Julio Jones having a great game. So, because I do think that they'll try to have Patrick Peterson line up on him as much as possible, but if they move him around consistent enough, he's going to get lost in coverage, and you'll see what happens when that happens. You know, Atlanta, their defense has been giving up a lot of passing yards, but I still don't feel comfortable playing Carson Palmer. I mean, he couldn't get it done against the San Francisco 49ers. What makes me think he's going to get it done here? You know, I mean, I can see why you'd want to start him. Me personally, if I have him, I'm not playing him. Honestly, if I did have him at one point this season, I'd definitely have had him already on the bench. Not only on the bench, but on the waiver wires, I would have cut him. I honestly, at this point, I couldn't have Carson Palmer even if it was for free. Like, he's been that bad. I know there's a couple of weeks where he had some 300-yard games and it looked like he was starting to come on, but, you know, that passing game looked like it's been shambles. You got Larry Fitzgerald, and that's it. So, Larry Fitzgerald, the number 6 wide receiver. He's still getting it done at an old age. I really like what I've seen out of the guy. You know, this could have been a week where, you could see maybe John Brown or Michael Floyd getting some deep ball plays. But even with that, I wouldn't feel comfortable playing them because we just haven't seen it. I don't really feel like I have to touch on David Johnson too much. He's the number one running back in PPR leagues. I don't really think you have to touch on him too much. He's already proved he's matchup proof. You can pretty much start him against anyone, which you're probably going to start him anyways, even if he has a bad matchup. But this is actually not a bad matchup for him at all. So, yeah, look, I know Atlanta actually gives up a lot of receptions to the running backs, so that even works even more into his favor. And you got to figure that he's going to get a heavy workload. So, let's go over to the New York Giants on the road against Cleveland. I haven't really looked at the weather report, but it's another cold weather game. But you know, I don't think that'll affect Eli Manning too much. He's gotten 9 touchdowns in the past 3 games. Kind of another guy that's been a disappointment at quarterback, but he is starting to pick up his play lately. He gets a very juicy matchup against Cleveland. You know, New York is one of those teams that doesn't run the ball very well, and they might ask Eli Manning to do a lot of the damage for them. So look for him to get into a groove early on, and that'll set the tone for the rest of the game. So I got Eli Manning as a start. I got Rashad Jennings, though, as a start as well. He's got the game script on his side because, you know, they're gonna try to chew up some clock eventually. He's gotten 70% of the 70% of the snaps last week, and he had 26 touches. So clear-cut number one running back over there. That's not anything you got to worry about. You ain't got to worry about Paul Perkins or anyone else on that team. He is the clear-cut number one. I don't really got to go into much depth about Odell Beckham. You have him, you're starting him. The question is, though, how does people feel about Sterling Shepard? He's a touchdown in 3 straight games, so that's really good. You're like, yeah, that's really good, you know. But, you know, I really haven't seen an increase in yards at all. He's only gotten, I think, 2 games this year of over 70 yards in a game. Despite his target share, it's actually been pretty good. I mean, since this is from week 3 on, 7 targets, 7 targets, 7 targets, 8, 7, 6, 7. He had 11 targets last week and still only had 5 catches. So, you know, his receptions and his yardage isn't going up, even though his targets have been pretty consistent. He's a touchdown-dependent wide receiver. But, with that being said, I feel like this is a game where he's going to score a touchdown, so you feel free to start him. Another tight end I like is Will Ty. Obviously, Cleveland's been one of the worst teams in the league against tight ends. Will Ty is now the clear-cut starting tight end for that team. His game's starting to pick it up a little bit. I can definitely see him getting in the end zone this week. I know he's only gotten like 1 or 2 touchdowns this year, but he's going to have a great chance to score against Cleveland. If we go over to the other side of the ball, I got McCown starting. That's not good. I know the only 2 guys I really feel comfortable starting is maybe a guy like Terrell Pryor. You know, he's gotten 102 targets this year, so obviously their game plan is going to still be like, let's get our best playmaker the ball. So I do feel comfortable about that. I don't really feel comfortable about Corey Coleman, though. Although he had, like, 12 targets last week, he still only had 4 catches. So, I like, obviously, out of the 2, I like Terrell Pryor. I feel like he's going to get paid this offseason. I don't feel like he's coming back to Cleveland. I wouldn't. Gary Barnage, the only good news about McCown being the quarterback is Barnage has 7 of his 10 career touchdowns as McCown at quarterback. So that's one good news about McCown being quarterback, because if you're a Gary Barnage owner, you know, I think he scored his first touchdown last week. It's pretty much they've been at quarterback by committee. It's kind of funny to say, but yeah. Isaiah Crowell, he's the number 16 running back. He's going against a pretty tough run defense, though. So I don't know how I feel about that. I really feel, like I said, I feel good about Pryor. I feel good about Barnage. You know, the Giants have been getting beat at the tight end position last few weeks, so I look for Gary Barnage to get in there. Let's go over to the LA Rams going on the road against the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints are favored by 7.5 points at home. The over and under is set at 45.5. I just don't know if LA has enough firepower to keep up with the Saints. Although, you know, LA is number 5 in the league defending the pass, so that's good. But, you know, we all know how good Drew Brees is at home. He's averaging like 360 yards a game at home. It's so many yards, so many touchdowns. He's the number 2 quarterback this year in fantasy football, and for good reason. I know at the beginning of the year, I called to say, you know what, I feel like this could be a down year for Brees, and I couldn't have been more wrong. So I'm going to say that right now before I get into the matchups. I know during the news and notes, I was saying I'm not real big on Ingram, and you know he's the number 13 running back so far this year for PPR leagues. But yeah, I just don't feel very comfortable playing against LA. We really don't know what kind of defense is going to show up for LA. Like in terms of their run defense, sometimes it looks really good, and other times it looks exploitable. So they kind of look like a funnel defense. You know, they're really good at stopping the pass. And they're kind of inconsistently stopping the run. So I'm looking for Hightower to actually get the bulk of the carries in this game. I know it's happened a few times these past couple of weeks. I do like Hightower over Ingram. Take your pick at receiver. Any one of the three could be good going into this week. I think Cooks probably has the most upside because he has that big play explosion. Michael Thomas, I think, is probably the guy that can probably get the most volume. I know he's a rookie, and he's been struggling as of late, but he wasn't really that bad last week. I think he had like 5 catches, 68 yards, and he only got 5 targets. But I'm saying I think that he could probably be the guy to have the most volume on that team. Snead, you know, he's been coming up as of late, but, you know, I'm the lowest on him. Out of the three, if you have Kobe Fleener, don't play him. He's been very inconsistent. Yeah, he actually is the number 12 tight end in PPR leagues, but that just goes to show you how bad the tight ends have been this year because he's been very, very inconsistent. Going over to the other side of the ball, Jared Goff is getting his second start, but he should not be owned. I'll tell you that. The only guy I feel comfortable starting from this LA team is Todd Gurley. He's number 18 running back. He's still hasn't had a 100-yard game yet this year. I don't really think that's going to happen this game, but I could definitely see him getting enough work to have a solid day. I probably got him as like a top 15-ish type of guy. If you have Kenny Britt, I like what Kenny Britt's been doing, but you just can't play him with Jared Goff as the quarterback, you know? He's the number 24 wide receiver in PPR leagues. Pretty much all of that was done without Jared Goff. I know he didn't have a terrible game last week, but you just got to think all the receivers' upside is just down the gut or down the drain with Goff at quarterback. If you have Kendricks, you shouldn't have him. Go put him on the waivers right now. All right. We're going to take a break and then we'll get into the other 6 matchups going forward.
Don't let him bother you. Don't get into our sex. And everybody's a pussy magnet. You, what are you? 25?
I'm 40.
Holy shit, man. You've got to get on that. Life isn't about sex. Life is about children. Passion. And spirit.
Yeah, it's life's about passion.
Instead of a fucking involves in pussy. It's about love. It's about people. It's about connection.
It's all about connections.
It's not about cock and ass and tits and butthole pleasures.
It's not about butthole pleasures at all.
It's not about this rusty trombone and dirty Sanchez.
Please stop.
And your Cincinnati bow tie.
Moosh.
And your pussy juice cocktail. And your shit stained balls.
Moosh, just please stop.
All right, that's enough. Party's over. Virgin, get back to work.
That is one of my favorite scenes. All right. Next on our slate, we got the San Francisco 49ers going on the road against the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are favored by 7.5. The over and under is 44.5. I got Miami winning this game, but I got the Sanford. I don't see them covering the spread, so if I had to bet, I'd pick on San Francisco. Last few weeks, you know, teams have not been able to cover the spread against San Francisco. But overall, I do have Miami winning this game. It seems like Adam Gase has realized, you know, the less we put the ball into Tannehill's hands, the better chance we have to win. So they've been really becoming a run-heavy offense, you know, and that's obviously not good for guys like Jarvis Landry, you know, who's like a PPR monster, and now he's like an afterthought in the offense. He's only getting like 5-6 targets a game. So, I mean, Although he does get a juicy matchup against San Francisco, San Francisco can't stop the run. And that's what Miami's going to want to do, is just run the ball. So I really look for Ajayi to have a big game. I mean, if you have Landry, I guess you could play him, but you better have tipper expectations. I have Landry on my team, and I'm not starting him. That's only because I have other options I could play. But Ajayi is probably the best play on this team this week. Devontae Parker, he might be a viable play, but you just don't know. He can get you 3 catches for 80 yards or 2 catches for 20 yards, so I wouldn't feel comfortable playing him in this game. Obviously, Tannehill could be a good streaming option, but like we said, it could be a run-heavy game for Miami. We go over to the other side of the ball. We got Colin Kaepernick, you know. He's actually been a pretty decent quarterback for like the past like 3-4 weeks. This could be another option where you could stream Kaepernick if you really need to, which I really don't see why you really need to stream a quarterback this week unless you have like a bad matchup, because there is no bye weeks for any teams this week. So I keep that in mind. But Kaepernick has looked pretty good, especially getting it done with the additional rushing yards. That's something that Tannehill used to be able to do, get like 40, 50 yards rushing a game. But Tannehill's really not doing that anymore. And it seems like it's more like Kaepernick is getting that 40 to 50 yards a game, which is really boosting his value up. We got Carlos Hyde. He's the number 22 running back in PPR leagues. That's probably who they're going to try to lean on. Miami still doesn't stop the run very well. Their pass defense has improved, though. I wouldn't feel comfortable starting any of the San Francisco receivers. You just don't know if it's going to be Curley, it's going to be Patton. It's never going to be Torrey Smith, let's just face it. I think the one other guy that I like on San Francisco is Vance McDonald. He's really been coming on as of late. You know, he's just that guy that he'll settle down in the middle, and Kaepernick's right where Kaepernick feels comfortable throwing the ball. He'll check it down to him. Kaepernick doesn't really like throwing to the outside very often. That's why you're seeing it, how it's hurting Torrey Smith, you know? So he's really been looking over the middle, and that's where McDonald makes his living. So I think that he could be a viable play against Miami. Miami doesn't have any tight end to speak of. Let's go over to San Diego on the road against Houston. San Diego is actually favored by 3 on the road, so that kind of surprised me, because I feel like Houston's going to win this game. Houston's the underdog at home. I feel like Houston's going to win this game, just based on the fact that their defense is what's going to get it done. This is not going to be a game where you're going to see Aaron Rodgers. This is not a game where you're going to see Phillip Rivers get like 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. It's going to be more like 200 yards and 1 touchdown. Houston has one of the best defenses in the league against the pass, so I'm looking forward to them actually getting it done at home. Obviously, if you have Brock Osweiler, the rock bottom Brock, you're not playing him. You really shouldn't be owned either. So Lamar Miller, I can see having a pretty decent game, even though San Diego is actually number 4 against the run in the league. They still have given up 14 rushing touchdowns. So that's where you're going to see Lamar Miller have any success. It's going to be the fact that maybe he can get a couple of touchdowns plunged in from the 1-yard line. That's definitely something that could happen. I do like Lamar Miller. You can start him. A guy I really don't feel comfortable starting is DeAndre Hopkins, you know. He's pretty much got a floor of like 5 catches, 50 yards. He hasn't really been scoring touchdowns. It's really not anything new to him. It's Brock Osweiler. He just doesn't know how to use his options. He has a lot of good options out there. He just doesn't know how to use them. So I wouldn't really feel comfortable starting Hopkins. But if you really, if that's all you got, then you're going to play him. Let's put it that way. CJ Fedorowicz, I do like CJ Fedorowicz. Obviously, there is some better options out there, but I do like Fedorowicz in this matchup. If you have him, you can fire him up. You know, if we go over to the other side of the ball, I really don't like a whole lot of options for San Diego this week. I feel like there's some better plays out there other than Phillip Rivers. He's been the number 13 quarterback this year. I feel like that he's gonna have a lackluster week. I do like Melvin Gordon though. That is one area in the Houston defense where you can attack him is on the ground. Melvin Gordon's been really good this year. A lot of touchdowns, but he's actually been picking up his average as of late. He looks pretty explosive when he gets the ball in his hands. So I do like Melvin Gordon this week. If you got Tyrell Williams, I'd sit him down. He'll probably be up against the PFF's number one corner in the league. Same thing with Travis Benjamin. If you have him, I'd sit him down. He's going against like the number nine corner in PFF. So yeah, I'd sit them both down if you have them, you know. Antonio Gates, I know he's getting close to that record for most career touchdowns by a tight end, but I would sit him down against Houston, too. Houston's given up 376 yards and two touchdowns to the tight end. I feel like this is going to be a low-scoring game, to be honest, too. I feel like this is going to be like one of those games where it's like 21-14, like something like that. So I really don't like a whole lot of people in San Diego this week. Let's go over to Seattle on the road against Tampa Bay. Seattle's favored by 6.5 on the road. I will take them to cover that spread. I do feel like they can at least beat Tampa Bay by a touchdown, let's face it. The over and under is 45. I could see the score being something like 28-14, something like that. I do like Russell Wilson in this game. Tampa Bay's given up like the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year, so it's definitely a green matchup for Russell Wilson. If you think he's been picking it up lately, I don't think you've seen nothing yet. This could be his coming out party. I could see him having a big day. You got Thomas Rolls. He's going to have total command of the backfield without Christine Michael, without CJ Procise. You can bank on Rolls getting at least 20 carries. I do like Baldwin in this matchup. He's been picking his play up of his late. I know a couple of weeks ago I did say, man, I feel like Doug Baldwin's not returning on his fourth to fifth round value, but it turns out that changed real quick. You know, obviously a 3-touchdown game will do that for you. He's the number 13 wide receiver in PPR leagues. I do like him. He's got 4 touchdowns in 2 games because he did have a passing touchdown last week. I do definitely like him going forward. Jimmy Graham, he is the number 4 tight end in PPR leagues. He's been a pleasant surprise for me. I know some people were excited about him returning. I was one of those guys who was like, man, I don't know if he's going to return and be what he was. But it seems like he's been making a positive impact in this team. He's got 3 touchdowns the last 3 games. He's going up against the Tampa Bay defense. He's given up 609 yards and 3 touchdowns to the tight end this year. I don't know about the touchdown. I can definitely see him getting a healthy amount of yards, like 70 to 80 yards. I can definitely see that. So count on for that one. Even like some other guys like Jermaine Kearse could have some success. Maybe Tyler Lockett, one of those two guys, if they get matched up with Tampa Bay's number 3 corner, then I could definitely see them having some success there. Because, you know, Tampa Bay's defense has been really bad. Like, we're talking real bad. If we go over to the other side of the ball, we got Crableg Winston. He's the number 11 quarterback in the league right now. I don't know how I feel about him against Seattle, but, you know, he definitely has that rushing appeal to him, so I mean, that could keep him in the conversation of starting him, but rule of thumb, just don't start your guys against Seattle. I mean, if you have Winston, you can start him, but I wouldn't recommend it. Doug Martin could have some success, though. I know Seattle's defense is a little bit banged up, so that's another thing to keep in mind. Mike Evans, though, he's the number 2 wide receiver in PPR leagues. If he gets matched up with Sherman, that could be a bad thing for him because I know he's a big physical guy. You know, that's exactly how Richard Sherman plays it. He likes to play receivers physical, so it could be a chippy day for him. You know, but I could just see him having a mediocre day. Not saying he's going to get completely shut down because he's Mike Evans, but I could see him getting like 5 for 50, 6 for 60, something like that. Cameron Brate, he's been a pleasant surprise this year, but you're going to sit him down against Seattle. because Seattle's given up 418 yards and 2 touchdowns to the tight end. He's the number 10 tight end in PPR leagues, but I'd feel a lot more comfortable with him on my bench this week. Let's go over to the New England Patriots. They're on the road against the New York Jets. The Patriots are favored by 8.5. The over and under is 46. Tom Brady, man. He could have a field day against this New York Jets secondary. You know, they're old, they're washed up, they're useless. I know typically Tom Brady does not have very good games against the Jets, but this is just a different Jets defense than what they presented in the past. So it's definitely a game where I think Tom Brady can have a lot of success throwing. He's just been on fire this year, so that's another thing that has a lot to do with it. Obviously, if you have Brady, you're playing him. This might seem a little bit crazy, but I'm going to say if you have LeGarrette Blount, maybe you consider sitting him down. Like, yeah, the game script is going to be on his side to where he can get a heavy workload, but he's going up against a pretty tough run defense. So that's one reason why I would consider sitting him down. And maybe this is just a pass-heavy game for Tom Brady. I could definitely see something like that as well. Julian Edelman, number 31 in PPR leagues. I'd fire him up as a start. Gronk is playing, so keep that in mind. If he's active, you gotta start him. I mean, I don't really feel that comfortable starting him, but if he's active, you're starting him. But definitely, if you have Martellus Bennett, I think you could play Martellus Bennett this week as well, because you know the Jets haven't really been stopping the tight ends very well. And, you know, Bennett's had some successful games with Gronk in the lineup, too. So you could definitely play Martellus Bennett. All right, let's go over to the other side of the ball. I believe it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick getting the start, and that's not good. Maybe it's good for Brandon Marshall, who's been on a real big slump in the second half of this year. He's the number 40 wide receiver in PPR leagues. You know, he just hasn't been the same. The quarterback play has really hurt his value. There's a number of guys I'd probably play over Brandon Marshall. I'd probably have him as like a back-end wide receiver 2, maybe a high-end wide receiver 3 at this point. You could still start him, I guess. New England is number 16 against the pass, so there is some room to be there for him to operate. That's, other than that, like I wouldn't consider any other pass catchers in Nunua. You should be on the waiver wires. Leave him there. Forte, I do like this week. He's the number 6 running back this week. I do like him. Another, I even like Blom Powell too, because I think that maybe he could get a lot of receptions when they're in like the hurry up mode trying to come back. I could definitely see him getting like 5-6 catches. That's really good for PPR leagues. So I do like both Powell and Forte this week. Other than that, that's the only 2 players I like on this team. All right. Let's go over to Carolina. They are going on the road against Oakland. Oakland's favored by 3. The over and under here is 50. Keep in mind, Carolina's going to be playing for their playoff lives at this point. They're 4-6. And if they lose another one, you can pretty much count them out. They're really going to be coming after Oakland in this one. I just don't see Oakland losing this one when they're at home. Derek Carr is the number 12 quarterback in the league this year. He's a guy that could have gotten double-digit rounds. I do like him against Carolina. I know Carolina's defense has been pretty good lately, but you know, he's been proven in the past that he can have some pretty decent games against some pretty tough defenses. Just look last week against Houston, he had a pretty decent game. So look forward to him having a decent game against Carolina. Really, there's only one player between both teams that I'd consider sitting, and that's Latavius Murray. Just because, you know, Carolina's run defense is, they're the real deal. They've given up 81.8 yards a game. So basically, if you're playing Latavius Murray, you're banking on a rushing touchdown inside the goal line, which that's been happening a lot lately, especially because Oakland seems to get a lot of pass interference calls on them that put the ball inside the 1 yard line. And that's what's leading to a lot of Latavius Murray's touchdowns. Amari Cooper, you could play him. He's the number 9 receiver in PPR leagues this year. You can play him. I think he'll have a good game. I know there's certain weeks where he seems to get lost in their game plan, but I don't think that's going to be one of these weeks. I think that both him and Crabtree are going to get plenty of work. They're going to both be very productive. I could see both of them getting a touchdown, too. So, yeah, you got to like both of them. You know, Luke Kuechly's been out, and Carolina has been kind of weak against tight ends, so you could have a sneaky play with Wolford, but I wouldn't really feel comfortable doing that. I mean, obviously, he's, I think, still another year away from being productive. You know what's going to really boil down to is, can Carolina get after Derek Carr? Because Carolina has 30 sacks in the season, and Oakland has only given up 11 sacks in the season, which I believe is the least amount in the league. So it's pretty much a strength against strength, because 30 sacks is, I think, like probably tied for second in the league. So strength against strength, it's going to see. Are they really going to be able to get some pressure against Derek Carr? Because I think that's what's going to boil down to. If they can't get pressure on Derek Carr, it's going to make things pretty easy for him. So that's probably one of the reasons why he's been so successful this year, too. Let's go over to the other side of the ball. We got Cam Newton. Cam Newton. He's number 15 quarterback this year. He's been kind of a disappointment, but he's going up against an Oakland defense that's been very susceptible against the pass and the run, really. But I can see Cam Newton being a dual threat in this one and having a good game. One guy that is kind of another disappointment is Jonathan Stewart. He's the number 42 running back in PPR leagues. He's got less than 400 yards on the season. He does have 5 touchdowns, but I was expecting a lot more out of him this year. I thought he could have been like a very good steal in like the 5th or 6th round for running backs. He's been kind of a disappointment, but I mean, it's kind of hard to sit him down when he's playing against Oakland. That's a very good matchup. So I got him as a start. Kelvin Benjamin, he's going to have a better game than last week. I got him as a start. When the fuck is he going to get a touchdown, though? So it seems like it's been like forever since he's had a touchdown. So I mean, you got to hope for some positive regression coming his way. Greg Olsen is another guy that's been kind of quiet lately. He's still the number 2 tight end in PPR leagues, but I mean, it's been a while since he finished as a top 10 tight end. So really looking forward to him bouncing back. I got him. Obviously, I got him as a start. Oakland's historically been bad at stopping tight ends. I believe that's the Sunday night game. No, it's not the Sunday night game. Sorry, my apologies. The Sunday night game is, I believe it's Kansas City on the road against Denver. Denver is favored by 3.5 in this game. It is the lowest over and under this week. It's only set at 39, so Vegas does not think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this one. I tend to agree as well. I think that, you know, Kansas City, their defense could be a very interesting play at DFS leagues just because, I mean, it's Trevor Siemian. They shouldn't have too many issues with that. They're getting Justin Houston coming back. So I do think, though, I'd have to go with Denver in this one. They're going to get some home cooking, I think. You're not starting either quarterback. Alex Smith isn't a viable play. Trevor Siemian's not a viable play. If you have Devontae Booker, I'd try to find someone else to play. I got him as a sit. I still like Ware. I got him as like a top 15-ish type of player this week. The question is, though, will they get close enough in the red zone to where he can score a touchdown? Because he seems to be fading a bit in that category. He hasn't been scoring the touchdowns. And that's really what was boosting his value up early in the season, you know? So keep that in mind. Obviously, Macklin's out, so Tyreek Hill get another boost. But he's playing Denver. You're going to sit him. Denver's been pretty tough against tight ends, too, but it's kind of hard to sit Travis Kelce because that's probably the only tight end you have on your team. So if you have him, you're probably still playing him. Just have some temperate expectations. Go over to the other side of the ball. Like I said, you're sitting Trevor Siemian. You're sitting Devontae Booker. have some tempered expectations for Demaryius Thomas as well. I know he's the number 18 wide receiver in PPR leagues, but have some tempered expectations with him. He's got a tough matchup. He's probably going to have fucking Marcus Peters on him. But, you know, I think the guy that could have some success against this defense is Emmanuel Sanders. He is the speedster. Kansas City presents some slower corners out there, and I think that's an area where Denver can exploit them in that matchup, is have Emmanuel Sanders go down the field against them. Because, you know, if he could break away and Trevor Simeon could throw a competent pass to him, there could be some value to be added there. Other than that, there's nothing to speak of in terms of tight end for Denver. So we can just go on to the next matchup. That will be Green Bay on the road against Philadelphia. I obviously am going to go with Philadelphia in this one. Green Bay, their defense is barely there. Although Aaron Rodgers is the number one quarterback this year. It's based on volume alone. So, I mean, if you got Aaron Rodgers, you're definitely going to play him against Philadelphia. I wouldn't consider starting Starks or Montgomery. I just don't think they're going to get it done against Philadelphia. They got a pretty decent defense, so I wouldn't start either one of them. The question is, out of these three receivers, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Nelson? Is it going to be Cobb? Is it going to be Davante Adams? Or is Davante Adams just like one of those guys that has that midseason streak? I do think that he's probably the one that I would say has the best chance for success in this one. I do still think that Nelson can get a touchdown. He's been more of a touchdown dependent type guy. Hopefully he can turn it on in the following weeks, although Green Bay's got a pretty tough schedule coming up, so don't look forward to that. I think Randall Cobb's a turd. I like Nelson. I like Adams in this one, though. Going over to the other side of the ball, I think Carson Wentz is an excellent streaming option this week. I think he's going to have some good numbers, if not stellar. Although I don't, like I said earlier, I don't see why you'd have to stream a quarterback this week unless you have like a guy like Jameis Winston as your starter, and then you can go ahead and plug Winston in your lineup. I can agree with. I can get on board with that. So I do think that Winston's going to have a great game. I mean, all the other quarterbacks have been having great games against Green Bay lately, so definitely look for him to be a decent stream play. Darren Sproles, he's going to give a go with his rib injury, but I'm still banking on Smallwood getting about 15 carries, 15 touches, something like that, around that, because, you know, Sproles has never really been a double-digit guy in terms of touches. And he's playing with a rib injury. Well, all it takes is one good shot, and then he's like, oh, I'm done for the day. And then that's where Smallwood could excel. Jordan Matthews is going to have a good week. I know he's a bit inconsistent, but I feel like he can have some success against this banged-up Green Bay defense. Same thing with Zachary Ertz. He's going to have a good game. Green Bay's been getting torched by tight ends this year, or like as of late, so I don't think Green Bay's defense is as good as people think. Philadelphia's going to win this game. I feel like Green Bay's just going to lay over. I'm sorry to say it, Green Bay fans, but that's how I feel.
Dated this girl for a while. She was really a nasty freak. She just loved to get down with sex all the time. She was like, any time of day, she was like, yeah, let's go. I'm so nasty. And I'd be nailing her.
Oh, shit.
She'd be like, oh, you're nailing me. Cool.
She talk dirty to you?
Oh, she loved to dirty talk. Totally into it. She'd be like, yeah, let's screw. I want to fuck. God, I'm so dirty. She'd be like, oh, me so horny. Me love you long time.
That'll pretty much do it for the matchups. I just want to give some words of wisdom. For some of these matchups where, like, you know, you have receivers that have tough matchups. Like, say you have Julio Jones. Maybe he does get shadowed by Patrick Peterson, and you're a little bit worried about that. Have a high upside guy in your lineup that could maybe replace some of the points that Julio Jones doesn't get. Or same thing if, say, you got, Mike Evans going against Seattle. have someone else in your lineup that has a high upside potential to make up for points that he may or may not get. You know what I mean? I mean, it might give you still like a goose egg, but, you know, you still want to play. You want to try to maximize your potentials with what I'm trying to say. If you have some tough matchups, save your flex position open, you know, and that'll definitely help you out. Same thing goes for running backs. If you have some running backs with a tough matchup, you know, maybe consider someone with a higher upside. Just some words of wisdom to have you guys chew over. I know this is being recorded on a Saturday afternoon. We'll try to get to you for this evening and for tomorrow morning before the matchups come out. I'd like to thank you guys. Thank you, Fifth Downers, for tuning into our shows. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spreaker. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio. We are on Podcast Addict. I just checked the app and I was like, wow, yeah, our shit's been updated. That's cool. So you can find us at all of those. If you have any questions regarding your fantasy team, you can ask us on Twitter at TheFifthDownFF. Also, you know, check out our website. We have the Fantasy Football Podcast Network. It's some of the greatest minds in football in the Fantasy Football Podcast Network. Give them a shout out. It's over 20 podcasts of fantasy football goodness of all different varieties. We got some other redraft leagues. We got dynasty leagues. We got some DFS shows. There's even an IDP podcast, IDP Blitz. So check that out. Other than that, that'll do it for today's show. Stay classy, Fifth Downers. We'll be getting back to you on Monday with our waiver wire show. So, peace out, Fifth Downers.